like you, Jesus. You are the Alpha and the Omega, Lord. You are the beginning and the end of our lives, God. And this morning we come and place a flag in the ground again and say, Lord, you are our reason for living, God. We come and put a stake in the ground and say, Lord, there's no other reason for living except for you, Jesus, Lord. And if there is any other reason, it's not worth it, Lord. But you are the reason that we are here this morning. You're the reason that we're doing what we're doing, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you want to speak to us this morning. I thank you, Father, that you are good to us and that you want to bless us, Lord, and challenge us with your word this morning, Lord, and help us to grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. So I pray this morning, Lord, that your word would truly touch, Lord, that your word would divide and cut and just chip away at all the mess in our lives, God, and come and establish us and form us in faith this morning, Lord. We so worship you, Lord. We're so in awe of you. We are here for you, Jesus. And so speak to us, change us, even mess us up, Lord, so that we can be more formed in your image, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who's excited to be here this morning? Just shake someone next to you and say, are you focused this morning? Thank you, band. That was amazing. I really want to encourage you guys to pray for Jan Kriel. It was a blessing to be at his father's funeral yesterday. For some of you, maybe you don't know, Jan has lost both his parents this year. So Mika and Anik and myself went to Vryheid yesterday, Vryheid in Northern Natal, just to be at the funeral with him and his dad's funeral. So please pray for Jan and support him when he comes back. I think he's getting back tonight. I think to lose two parents in 1 year is really tough. But when I was there, I was so inspired by his dad's love for Jesus and his dad's sold outness to the gospel, because his dad was a minister and he laid down his life for Christ, and he ministered in the Zulu congregation or in the Zulu township there in Vryheid and ministered to the Zulus there. And just when I was in the house yesterday and just seeing all this material that he had written, discipleship material, I was just inspired again to lay down my life fully for Christ, and that there isn't anything else worth living for apart from Christ. Amen. And to really lay down your lives for Christ even more. And at the end of your life, you know, there were so many tributes to him yesterday. And, you know, obviously it was very sad, but everyone who came to speak just said how amazing his love for people was and his love for God and just his sold outness to the gospel and to the cause of Christ. And I was just encouraged again, and I want to encourage all of us to live for the cause of Christ. Amen. There's nothing else worth living for in this world. Doesn't matter how much money we've got, how much success we achieve. There's nothing worth living more than there is for the cause of Christ. And so, and we, you know, I think this time of year, I don't know if you guys know what this time of year is called. Anyone shout out the word? What is this time of year called from now until the end of the year? Well, festive, yes, but it's something else. It's like called the silly season or the, I don't know, it's a weird season. It's supposed to be festive, but when you put festive in with people, then people get silly, you know. Because people just want to be festive, and then you get a bit silly. And so at this time of the year, I feel, and every year, you know, when we come to this time of the year, I realize again, it's like seasons in a year are just so similar. Every year, there's certain seasons that come and go, and it's the same every year. And so at the end of this year, I just felt the Lord leading me to a verse this, or to a topic this morning. Because with the silly season, with festive season, with all that stuff, I believe there's also a deep sense in our hearts many times of what's really in there. And I think sometimes this time of the year highlights this feeling in our lives called fear, the one word called fear. And we don't always know that it's there, but there is sometimes that feeling of fear in our lives, and we have to take stock and we wonder, where are our lives heading? And, you know, you've been through a year and you're going into another year. What are you doing? And who are you really? And so sometimes fear starts to creep up in our lives. And so this morning I want to talk about overcoming fear. So I really want you to open your hearts and to ask God, is there fear in my life, and what am I fearing? What am I afraid of? And is there really still fear? And maybe you've dealt with a lot of fear in your life, but maybe there's still something that God wants to deal with you this morning. Because sometimes it's very subtle. But so I want to ask you a question. When you're afraid, who are you going to call? When you're afraid, who are you going to call? Something strange in your neighborhood. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters! Something weird and it don't look good. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. Thanks, guys. You shouldn't be clapping because I hope you're not going to call Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call? Because the definition of fear in the Oxford Dictionary goes as follows. It's an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. There's even a better definition, and it goes as follows. It's an anxious feeling caused by our anticipation of some imagined event or experience. Fear is defined as an anxious feeling caused by our anticipation of some imagined event or experience. And you know, when it comes to fear, often fear, the thing that you're fearing is not the problem. It's the fear of that thing that you're fearing that's the problem. It's the shadow of death. The Bible talks about the valley of the shadow of death. Death is not the problem itself. It's the shadow of death that's the problem. That fear beforehand of something that's not even going to happen. Because it's sometimes imagined or it's anticipated, but it's not going to happen. And it's that many times grips us. Isn't that so in your own life? Is anyone here never experienced fear? And maybe some of you are fearing right now, and so are you going to call Ghostbusters, or who are you going to call when you fear? Turn with me to Mark chapter 4 from verse 35 to 41 in the New King James Version. I just want to read this verse, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about fear before we unpack the scripture and this awesome passage that Mark writes. On the same day when evening had come, verse 35 of Mark chapter 4, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. So Jesus is here with his disciples and he has just fed the 5,000. He's just done a few miracles. He's been teaching them and he says, it's time to cross over. It's time to go over because guess who they had to meet on the other side? They had to meet a demoniac who was completely possessed and totally possessed with demons and with all sorts of slavery and bondage. And so they wanted to go to this other side, but they had to cross the lake. And when they'd left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. The waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'm going to get back to that passage of scripture just now, but I want to talk a little bit about fear in our lives. You see, fear is a terrible thing. Anyone enjoy being fearful? Fear paralyzes and it cripples us. It incapacitates us. It causes us stress and anxiety. And it often leads to bad decision making. It leads to wrong choices, which often lead to regret and guilt and shame. Fear sometimes, in fact, many times leads to physical problems like irritable bowel syndrome or all sorts of stomach problems. It can lead to mental depression as well, or mental problems like depression. And I believe many times the doctors and the, nothing against the medical fraternity, we treat the symptoms and not the causes. And the root cause often of many sicknesses and many diseases in the world today is because of this thing called fear. Now for me, I don't know about you, what your biggest, one of my biggest fears, can you guess what that is? And I'm going to be faced with it again this week because my wife's going to Cape Town for about a week. So my biggest fear is when my wife goes away, that I'm going to die of hunger because I don't know how to make food. And I'm fearful for my kids that are staying with, or my boys are staying with. Caitlin's going with her. So my biggest fear is my wife going away, because how are we going to eat for a week? So am I going to survive for a week? We'll have to see. No, I'll survive. Don't worry. Maybe I'm just telling you that you can feel sorry for me and bless me. I don't know what your fear is, but I went to do some research on the common types of fear. So have you guys heard of the phobias, all the names with phobia on the end? So he has a couple of them. Agoraphobia is the fear of open spaces or crowds. Acrophobia is the fear of heights. And then this difficult word. Pteromoranophobia is the fear of flying. Maybe some of you have got claustrophobia, the fear of enclosed spaces. Anyone here don't like dogs? It's called cynophobia. I know Sandra doesn't like cats. Where's Sandra? Don't know what that fear is called. Then trypanophobia is the fear of needles. And then the one fear that we all have. Anyone heard of nomophobia? It's the fear of being without your cell phone. It's the latest fear in the world today. Seriously, it's been defined as nomophobia. Can I just have all your cell phones now, please? Can we just put them in the front? There's amazing, and this is just seven of hundreds of phobias that there are out there in the world today, the common types of fears. But the psychologists say that there are five basic types of fears, that all other fears can be categorized into. There are just five basic types of fears. I don't know if this is right or wrong, but this is what the research says. Number one is the fear of extinction. In other words, where you fear ceasing to exist, because all of us want to exist. All of us have a desire to mean something. And so we fear ceasing to exist, or which is simply death. As people, we fear death. And many times you can fear the death of a loved one as well, specifically, or fear of death yourself. And so maybe you've got some of these fears underlying in your life. And the Lord today, I believe, wants to deliver us from this fear. From any of these fears, if you really want him to do today. So the fear of extinction is it's the idea of no longer being. And it arouses a primary existential anxiety in all humans. Think of when you have to jump off a high building. Well, when you're leaning over a high building, then that fear comes. It's the fear of death, the fear of not being around anymore. The second fear is called mutilation. Fear of losing a body part, or I think going with this is the fear of pain. It's the fear of losing a part of our precious bodily structure, the thought of having our body's boundaries invaded, or of losing the integrity of an organ, a body part, or a natural function. So often our anxiety about animals like snakes and spiders and things like this arises from this fear of having to be bitten or mutilated in some way, or losing a body part. The third one is, and many of us in the Christian circles, we don't know these terms because we just refer to them differently, but we do refer to them, is the fear of loss of autonomy, being immobilized or paralyzed or restricted or enveloped or overwhelmed or entrapped or imprisoned or smothered or otherwise controlled by circumstances beyond our control. And obviously claustrophobia is one of those fears that falls into this category, but it obviously extends to loss of other relationships where we feel trapped many times, even in a relationship, because we're losing our autonomy and we're losing our freedom. The fourth one is called the fear of separation, or, and this is very common when it comes to rejection or abandonment. We fear being rejected or abandoned. We fear losing connectedness or becoming not wanted or respected or valued by anyone else, because all of us as people want to be respected and valued, and we want to belong. We are social beings. Amen. Anyone here love to just be on your own the whole time? Even the biggest introverts long for relationship. And so there's a fear of being separated, or, and often this is intimidation by a group even, and being rejected by a group. And so often you isolate yourself from a group because you fear that, but that's actually falling into the hands of that fear by separating you, because you're so fearful of being rejected when you're in a big group. And it can have a devastating psychological effect on us. Then the last one is, of the major categories of fear, is called ego death. The fear of where your ego has to die. Humiliation, shame, or any other mechanism of profound self-disapproval that threatens the loss of integrity of self. The fear of a shattering or of disintegration of one's sense of lovability, capability, and worthiness. The ego death fear. And in all of those, or in some of those, the fear of failure or disappointment is there somewhere. I think it fits in with the last one, where you don't want to disappoint people. You don't want to disappoint yourself. You have a serious concern for people's opinion, and so you fear rejection or what people will say about you. And even in there somewhere, there's a fear of having nothing, a fear of lack. Fear of not having enough finances, and I believe it's maybe from the first one, the fear of extinction, because maybe you're not going to make it if you don't have any finances. Or it could be about popularity as well. Being perceived as poor. And the sad reality is that it seems that there's more and just as much fear in the church as there is in the world. Let's be honest. Why are there so many fearful Christians? And a guy called Colin Smith, I listened to one of his sermons, a Scottish preacher who lives in America now, just asked this question, why are there so many fearful Christians? And he says the following, he says, because the self-exalting spirit of the world has so widely permeated the church. The self-exalting spirit of the world has so widely permeated the church. You see, when we are on the throne of our lives, when we are sitting in the throne of our lives, when we are God, and many of us, we have to be honest, we are many times God in certain aspects of our lives. We are in control. Isn't that so? Because we do love to be in control, because that's the sinful nature. That's what Adam and Eve almost gave to us, and what the devil tempted them to take control away from God and to say, God will be in control, will be God. It's the sinful nature. So what happens is when we take control of our lives, just think about it like this, and something is out of control. Something happens that you can't control. Guess what? It opens the door to fear. Because you cannot control it. You think you're God and you want to be God, but you just cannot control it. So guess what happens? Fear comes in. It's like if you want to be in control of your future, let's say, and you've got your degree now, you're looking for a job next year, and you are sure that you've applied for this job, and you're in control because you've done the best interview, and you're going to make this happen, and suddenly it doesn't happen, then you're left with fear because you're not God, so you can't just get the next job. You have to trust God for it, but you're not God. And it opens the door to fear, and it's like that with anything in our lives. There's an open door to fear if we are sitting on the throne of our lives. And fear many times manifests also when there's a misunderstanding or a wrong perception of who God is, or when there's rebellion to God's order. Then fear can manifest, and fear is the devil's main weapon to get us down, isn't that so? And he lies all the time. He's the father of lies. And many times this fear is just a perception. It's not real. And I'm not saying we'll never be fearful. There's always an opportunity for fear because we are still human beings. We're still sinful and we're not perfect. But why do we fear so much? That's the question this morning. And that's the question that the disciples, or Jesus asked his disciples. He says, "Why?" It's like he didn't expect them to be perfect and to have no fear and full faith, because we'll never have perfect faith and no fear. But in the story on the boat, he asks them, "Why are you so fearful?" See, we need to be a people of hope in a culture of fear. I'm going to say that again. We need to be people of hope in a culture of fear. There's a culture of fear. And I can tell you this time of the year, we say it's festive season, silly season, it's luck. But I can tell you, you know what, how much fear there are in people's lives. And they're just masking it with all the stuff of the world that has to offer. But I can tell you, if we can be a people of hope in a culture of fear, we'll be an amazing testimony. Amen. We will be an amazing testament. I believe that's one of the most powerful witnesses to have, is when we can have as a church, a culture of hope, where we are people of hope. We are fearful at times, but we bring it straight to Jesus. And we have this hope in us where there's so many people fearing around us, especially with our country. Where's our country going? Where's the economy going? Where's the Free State going? Where's all the municipalities going when there's debt of millions? I don't know if you ask this question sometimes, but it can easily bring up fear in us. How is Eskom going to pay the billions and billions that they owe? Are we going to ever have electricity in the future when there's so much debt and so much terrible stuff in our nation? So I want to get back to the scripture this morning. I want to get back to what the Bible says, because I believe all of us today are challenged and say, yo, Alistair, there is some kind of fears in my life, definitely. There's a fear of the future, a fear of, is your life going to mean something? Just a fear of just doing too little, maybe. Maybe you're not a good parent, or you're not a good child to your parents, or your relationships aren't at a good place and you want to do something about it. So I want to say, wherever you are this morning, be real with God and say, God, there is a fear in my life. I'm fearing this. I'm not 100% sure about this, and it's bringing fear. I don't have faith for this. I've got faith for other things, but Lord, for this area of my life, I'm in the boat now, and there's a storm that's busy arising. Then I've got four truths for you to embrace this morning. Just four truths that you can take from this parable, which I trust will encourage all of us this morning. Are you ready for it? Number one. If we go look at the scripture there, what does Jesus say to his disciples when he asks them, let's get into the boat? Jesus says, let us cross over to the other side. Did the disciples ask Jesus to follow them? The disciples say to Jesus, Jesus, come, let's go over to the other side. Jesus, come follow us. We've got a great calling. We've got a great plan for our lives. And I want to say this morning is, you don't ask Jesus to follow you. And maybe you are asking Jesus to follow you. I want to say, don't ask Jesus to follow you. Jesus is asking you to follow him. Amen. Jesus asks you to follow him. And when you follow him, he calls you to cross over. Jesus is going to call you many times in your life to cross over. Just like Mika and Heinrich are going to Rustenburg. You know, to Bloemfontein, to Rustenburg, that's quite a crossing over. Some of you guys are leaving at the end of the year. Some of these students, some guys are changing jobs, maybe, I don't know, but you might be doing a crossing over in the next 2 years of your life. You might be pregnant, or you might have just had kids, or you might be having kids soon. I know there's a couple of women in our church that are having kids. Jesus is calling you to cross over. It's a scary place. It's not easy. But when we say to Jesus, Jesus, we want to follow you, then he calls us to follow him, but he's going to call us to cross over. And with the crossing over, guess what's going to happen with the crossing over? There's going to be some kind of a storm coming your way. And Jesus, being God, knew that this lake where they were crossing over it was in a valley, sort of. There was a gorge like that, and there was often massive winds blowing into this gorge that caused this lake to become very stormy. And Jesus is like, let's do this. God, Father, let's do this with our disciples. Let's give them a test. Because when we cross over, there's going to be some storms. Storms will arise in your life. Amen. But guess what the storms are going to do? They're going to reveal fears in you. Storms in your life are going to reveal fears in you. It's just how it is. And so you say to Jesus, Jesus, bring on the storms quickly that you can deliver me of my fear. But many of us, we don't want the storms because, hey, it's comfortable not having to deal with the fears, because we think we've got no fear, but hey, we've still got fear. It just hasn't been exposed yet. And so the storm is going to reveal the fear in you. See, we need to make Jesus Lord of our lives, and we need to get off the throne of our lives, the I, me, and myself that wants to lead and wants to be in control. We need to die to that and allow Jesus truly to lead us. Amen. Because if this doesn't happen, it's gonna really lead to a lot of fear, and you're gonna be continually in fear. You see, Jesus was sovereign over your birth. Jesus is sovereign over your life, and he's going to be sovereign over your death. So why do we need to fear death specifically? And if we're in control of our lives, we're going to probably start to fear, have we got enough time to live? Are we gonna fulfill our life's destiny? Are we gonna fulfill our life's calling? And we start to fear dying. And I want to say, he's sovereign over your birth. He knows exactly when you were born. He was sovereign over your birth. He's sovereign over your life right now, and he's going to be sovereign over your death. In other words, the timing of it, the circumstances, and the outcome. He is sovereign. So give it to him. Don't fear. Yesterday, when Peter Jan's dad's brother preached an amazing message and just said to us that we need to redeem the time. We need to be urgent also, because we don't know when we're going to die. We shouldn't live in fear, but we must also know that our time, we haven't got forever to live. And he equated it to running. He said, like, many times we think it's like running a marathon. We must pace ourselves. But you know, when you run a marathon, you know exactly it's 42 Ks or 21 Ks or 10 Ks. But life, you don't know if it's, you're going to live to 95 or 85 or 75 or 20 or 25. You don't know how long you're going to live, but if you constantly live in fear, you're never going to fulfill your destiny. But if you surrender and you say, God, you're sovereign over my whole life, however long I have to live, Lord, it's your destiny. And you give over, and you know Jesus has called you to follow him, and just keep following him. And then number two, when you follow him, as I said, storms will come. And so these storms came, and I think this must have been incredibly scary. Just think about it. I think it's a little boat. There was a few waves of still. The boat was filling up. Anyone been on a boat recently? The Meibergs? Who's been on a boat in the last year? Do you guys do boating? Who's never been on a boat in their life before? Do yourself a favor and get onto a boat. I know you'll probably be challenged with seasickness and all that stuff. But get onto, because you need faith to be on a boat. But these guys were master boatsmen. They were fishermen. They knew how to handle a boat. They knew how to handle rough waters. But they didn't know how to handle this storm, because Jesus was involved here. And so there's a major storm. In fact, if Jesus wasn't there, I don't know how they would have obviously not survived. But these guys knew how to master boating, and they knew how to master the water. But yet, yeah, comes this storm that fills the boat up. I mean, the boat was literally sinking. It wasn't just a little fishing boat that was bobbing on the water like a cork. This was a boat filling up with water, about to sink. It was a scary time. But I want to say to you this morning that Jesus wants to be in your boat. And if he's not in your boat, then today is an opportunity to say, Jesus, come into my boat, because without you, the storm will take me out. The storm, I'm not bigger than the storm. And if he's not Lord of your life, and if you're not following Jesus, then I want you this morning, I want you to respond and say, Jesus, I want to follow you, and I want you to be in my boat. Amen. Because it's scary if Jesus is not in your boat. It is very scary. I don't know how people survive this life without having Jesus in their boat. They can still have fear, but If you don't know where you're going when you die, that must be scary. And yesterday at that funeral, it was so, the stench of death is terrible. It's one of the most difficult things in life to handle. But yesterday was so blessed, because we knew Jesus was there. You can ask Anik and Mika, the peace of Christ was in that house, in the church, wherever we were. There was a peace amidst the tears and amidst the challenge. But if Jesus is not in your boat, it's a scary place, because then you don't know where your life is going to be. And then that fear of dying and of mutilation and of pain must be overwhelming, because there's no one to save you. In fact, you're going straight to hell, to burn in the fire forever, and you're not going to die. You're going to suffer forever. That's a fearful thought. But believers this morning, if you're a believer, I want to say to you, number two, Jesus is at peace in your boat. Amen. Jesus is sleeping on a pillow in your boat and in your life. He's not shaken by all the stuff in your life. He's really rustic. He's chilled. He's at peace. If you're a believer and you've asked him into your heart and you're following him with all your heart, then Jesus is in your heart and he's at peace. And I don't know what pillow he was lying on. I think in those days they didn't have the lacquer soft, comfortable pillows that we have. But the word pillow there just means that Jesus was so comfortable. He was sleeping right down in the stern where it was probably the worst place to get seasick and to stress and to fear. Jesus is just lying there and he's chilled. And he's so at peace and the storm's not worrying him, but the voices of the disciples have woken him up. So number one, Jesus called you to follow him. Number two, Jesus is at peace in your boat. And he's not shaken by anything in your life. He's not shaken by the fears or the storms in your life or in this world. And then number three, Jesus hears and responds to your voice. The storm did not wake Jesus up. Isn't that amazing? But guess what woke him up? The fear and the cries of his disciples. And Jesus hears when you speak. And so if you have fear this morning, I want you to say, speak up and say, Jesus, I'm sinking. Help me. I've really got fear. I'm not going into this December time and into 2019 with the same fear. Jesus, I'm not going to make it. I can't do this crossing over without you. And you know, the best is he's going to respond. He will respond to your voice. And the devil's going to lie to you and say, oh, Jesus, it's not there. Hey, you just think you know him. You don't really know him. And he'll come and lie to you and he'll tell everything contrary to the word of God to you and you start to believe it and the fear just increases. But I want to say it's a lie. He hears and he responds to your voice. But I want to say to you, there is no need to fear so much if you live by faith in his providence. Why do you fear so much? Fear and faith are mutually exclusive. The less there is of the one, the more it is of the other. It's just like that. You can it's 100% and then if there's 30% fear, there'll be 70% faith. If there's 80% fear, there'll be 20% faith. You can't have lots of fear and lots of faith. And none of us are going to have 100% faith and no fear. Let's be honest with that. But I believe the same amount of fear you have in your life last year and this year and next year shouldn't be the same. You should grow in more and more faith and then the fear will go less and less. Why do you think a guy like Angus Buchan can have so much faith? Because he's old. He's grown. He's learned. We're not all going to have as much faith as Angus Buchan now. But maybe when we're 80 or 70 years old, maybe we can have that faith if we really want to. If we really seek God and we pursue him and say, God, take away this fear more and more in my life and make me full of faith and not worry about dying, not worrying about persecution, not worrying about what people think of me, just being obedient to you. But I want to say this morning is he hears your voice and he responds to you and he wants to tell you, have little fear, have more faith, more faith. I'm with you. Remember, number one, I'm in your boat. I've called you to follow me. So I'm in your boat and I'm crossing over. We're crossing over here. We're doing this life. But I'm going to take you through it. And then last one. Jesus has authority over every storm. Amen. You need to say that again. Jesus has authority over every storm. Tell someone next to you, every storm. Do you believe that? The storm in this nation, the storm in the nations of the world, the storm in your life, which maybe seems small, but it is big for you. Jesus has authority over every single storm. And guess what he did? All he just stood up with that. Imagine this authority that he had. Just said, peace, be still. He didn't shout. Obviously, he shouted. But he wasn't all stressed. He's just with authority. And what did and this is not a natural, like, slowing down of the waters. This was like, boom. Submit to the authority of Christ. Waves, still. Water, still. Boat, stall. Everything just came to a complete stop. The disciples are like, probably so convicted. Jesus has complete authority over every storm in your life and over the storms in the lives of other people, but he's only going to speak when you give him permission. And we have to call upon him and we have to sometimes say, Jesus, give me the authority now to speak to this thing. Don't speak when you haven't got faith, but say, Jesus, give me the faith now to tell the storm or to the sickness or whatever is bothering me to leave in the name of Jesus. Give me the faith for it. Don't go in presumption. But just know that Jesus is not going to calm your storm if you don't invite him in. You don't say, Jesus, I'm really desperate. And then that fear will just start to subside, and that fear will go away and turn into faith, and you'll see the Son of Man come to speak authority over the storms in your life. So give him permission. I don't know what you're fearing this morning, friends. There's many fears in life. But I believe there's one key which sums all of this up together. And it ends if you look back at the scripture, you will see it started with a great storm, say great storm. And then it went on to a great calm. Verse 39, it says, and there was a great calm. It's not about a great fear and then a great calm. It's about the third one. Verse 41. There was another great fear. Let's read verse 41 again. Jesus just asked them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? What does verse 41 said? And they feared exceedingly. I believe that fear was even greater than the first fear. And they said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? There's just one key, and all of these others point to this key. The key to overcoming every type of fear in our lives is this one fear in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And I'll end with the scripture. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The key to overcoming all fear is the fear of God. And I believe many times we don't overcome fear because it's just the great storm and then the great calm. But there was a response to that great calm that Jesus brought, and that was an exceedingly great fear of him and a fear of God. And it's not the same fear as the other fear. Don't get me wrong. But it's a healthy fear of God. And next week I want to talk more about the fear of God and unpack some scriptures about the fear of God, because there's a misunderstanding about the fear of God. But I really believe that a true key to overcoming every fear in our lives is to really put God on the throne of our lives and to fear him more than anything else. Because yes, death is not nice. Pain is not nice. But there's worse to come if we don't fear God. There's one who can destroy us in hell. Do we fear that God who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell? Do we really fear God? Do we have a healthy reverence and respect and a healthy respect for the holiness of God? Because I believe if we do have that, he's on the throne of our lives. We'll put him on the throne of every part of our lives, not just certain parts, but every part of our lives. So I want the band to come forward this morning. Whether you've got agoraphobia, acrophobia, or pteranophobia, claustrophobia, cynophobia, trypanophobia, nomophobia, phobia, whatever phobia you have, whatever fear you have, a fear of death this morning maybe, or a fear of losing a body part, a fear of just pain, a fear of losing a loved one, a fear of being enclosed in a small space or being immobilized, or whether it's a fear of just not pleasing, a fear of pleasing people, or of disappointing yourself, or of people, or of rejection, or fear of failure, or fear of humiliation or shame, or whatever type of phobia you have falls into one of those categories. And I want to say today, it's not wrong to have a fear. It's not a sin to have fear. It's real for you. It's real for you, and so don't deny it. But I believe we don't have to sit with all these fears. We don't have to accept the fears, you know, because sometimes we just say, oh, I'm scared of this, and we just accept it. And you might never overcome it fully, but why live in that fear? I believe fear of death is a big one, fear of losing loved ones. I believe it's one of the biggest fears. Fear of dying early, maybe before you get kids or before you're married or before you reach 50, or fear of just not fulfilling your life's purpose. Why live in that fear your whole life? Why not live one day as if it's your last day without fear, and it'll be the most joyful day? And then you can say, Jesus, take me, I'm ready. And I want you this morning to close your eyes and just to be honest with the God and say, Lord, this is me. Here I am with my fear. And the storm is arising in my life, Lord, and I don't know. I know you've called me to cross over. I know you've called me to follow you, but Lord, it's tough at times. It feels like I'm dying, but Lord, I'm reminded again that you're in my boat, and I just call out to you now to speak peace, because I can't. And according to your faith, I believe God can deliver you. He can deliver you completely. He can deliver you as much as you want him to deliver you. But I really believe God can only work with our cooperation. God cannot do it if we don't really want to. If we're holding on to those fears, and if we're sitting on the throne of our lives, and we don't really fear him with all our lives, we don't really worship him, then he'll deliver us partially. He'll do what he does best. He blesses us. He makes life better for us. But I believe he wants to deliver us fully, and he wants us to live a life of faith. So Lord, I pray for all of us here this morning, including myself, God. We are like the disciples, Lord, and you know the reality of fear, Lord, that it's there. It's always there. It's real, Lord, but when it starts to grip us, that we become so stressed about dying and about not making it or not even getting to the other side, Lord, because I believe you wanted to tell these disciples that it's actually okay if they don't even get to the other side. It's actually okay if they die because you're with them, Lord. That's all you want, is us to be with you. So why do we fear death? Why do we fear all this stuff? When you say to us, you're in our boats and you have authority to speak to storms. And Lord, we just want to give you the authority again, Lord. Because we are trying. We are so fearful, but we're trying to speak to the devils and the demons, and we are trying to do so much stuff. But Lord, we're not filled with faith. We're filled with fear. And you want to come and fill us with faith as we pray, Lord. And then things will stop. Things will just happen. Things will move, Lord. But Lord, you say to the disciples, you said to them many times, oh, you have little faith. Why didn't you believe when you try to cast out these demons? Why didn't you just have faith? But sometimes it comes by prayer and fasting. Sometimes there's a laying down of our lives, making ourselves uncomfortable by not eating or laying aside some comfort that we so hold on to in order to say to you, Lord, yeah, take control of my life. Sit on the throne of my life.